Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
All the details just been probably the hardest 9 days of my entire existence. I don't know how people do it, honestly, without Jesus. He's so good. You know, I told you that when I see the number 518, it's God reminding me to be thankful in every circumstance. So thank you, Lord, for the circumstances. But he also tells us other things too. Thursday the 23rd, I had come here that night for practice. Great practice, everything was normal, and I went home and had gone to bed not thinking about anything, and all night long I kept waking up with a song. Not my song, it was just a song that I've done over the years, and it's always meant something to me, and it's based right out of a scripture. Based right out of Isaiah 43. I'm going to read this to you. And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's something I need to do. Maybe somebody needs this, you know. I don't know. When these songs come, it's just somebody needs it. Because I don't play for me. I play for the glory of God. He taught me before I was born. He taught me before my parents were born. Love me first so I could love others. But I woke up that morning and was like, I know the song is a scripture, so I'm going to go find it. I can't remember. I knew it was Isaiah. I just couldn't remember where. And so I looked and found it and highlighted it Monday morning. And little did I know, 2 hours later, my world would come crashing down. But God let me know he was there. It says, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And at that point, you know, it's like the waters, they can get rough. And if anybody knows me, knows I do have a fear of water. Can't swim. So it means a lot to know that he's with me in those waters. But it's not just those moments. It's, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall that flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God. And I knew he was telling me that I've got you. I've got you through this. And I've got you. I've got your family. I've got every aspect that you can breathe, that you can think, that you can feel, your emotions, your spirit, your physical pain, your mental pain. I've got it all. He's got it all right there.
Yes, Jesus.
And within a day, even though the troubles were there, it just going in the car, rejoicing of how He is restoring His people. The past 9 days have been probably the most redemption I've seen, and it's still more to come.
Hallelujah.
It's like every day I witness some redemption of some sort.
Jesus, yes.
There's been a lot of loss, but there's more to gain.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So much more to gain.
Yes, glory. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus.
I'll tell you right now, if you've not said it in a long time, the devil owes us. He owes us.
Right.
He owes us.
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus paid that price.
Hallelujah. Yes, He did.
And because He's here, there is no loss.
Amen.
Only to gain.
Amen. Yes. Glory.
Fear not, for I have redeemed.
Lord, He is the Lord thy God.
Yes, yes, yes.
our feelings, we walk by faith. No, yeah, we also, the just shall live by faith. Not only do we walk there, we live there. So our keynote scripture the Lord gave me for guarding against deception in these last days in 2020, Genesis 3:13. Now, this is the World English Bible because I just like the way it was said. Yahweh God said to the woman. Now, stick around, women. Just because I start out with women don't mean I ain't talking about the men, too. God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." I left out the part about Adam, but, you know, Adam messed up, too, right? He came to Adam first. And Adam said, "It was that woman you gave me." See, they were playing the blame game. In the last days, the Bible tells us that many will be deceived. Throughout the scriptures, we're warned against the dangers of deception, not only in the end times, but also in our day-to-day lives. If you think about it, guarding against deception is in our everyday lives is what ultimately prepares us to do so in the end times. It's not something most of us think about every day. I'm talking about deception, but we must give attention to it. If it's in the Bible and Paul told Timothy that it was important, it's important. Because we don't want it to sneak up on us and overtake us without, like Wayne was saying, he had a song already. The Lord was preparing a song, a word in his heart. He knew. See, Jesus knows things is coming. And if we'll listen, if we'll be in the Word and we'll be studying and seeking, we'll have what we need when we need it. You know, Barney Fife, you know, he was always the one that had one bullet in his gun. He had five other chambers that were empty. But it was good. Barney didn't need no bullets in his gun. If you followed Andy Griffin long enough. But a Christian, you need everything that Jesus has given us. The whole armor of God to live in this world and defeat. Now, the devil's done been defeated, but we are God's policemen. He has given that authority over to us, and we wear the armor. We wear the badge of heaven. Now, everybody's got a number, and only God knows your number, but we've been called. When they call, help me, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh, how I want to be in that number, okay? But you decide if you want a number or not. I won't say yes to Jesus. I did, and I got a number. Amen. It's a winning number. I don't play the lottery. I play the Word of God. Amen. And we win. That lottery, I'm sorry, you got many, 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 many chances you're going to lose. But with God, we win. Amen. Amen. We win. It might not feel like it sometimes, but you are a winner. You need to tell the devil who you are. Amen. I'm a winner, devil. You the loser. No, he's not a loser. He's a big loser. He's a big loser. Amen. Tell it like it is. So, are you being deceived? The very definition of deception means that those who are deceived do not know or believe they are deceived. So it's vital that we as believers are on guard, guarding against deception. On guard against this trap from the enemy and diligently seeking after the truth, and you can only find that in Jesus. Jesus is truth, the only way, the only truth, the only life. And we talked about the first ways. There's four ways to guard your heart against deception, to keep strong, free, and living in the truth. The first part we talked about was just knowing the definition of deception. Strong says it means to beguile. The serpent beguiled Eve. He deceived her. To lead astray, to delude morally, or to seduce. One thing we need to know right off is this. Anyone can be subject to subjection. If you're down here and you got an earth body, the devil is working through the soul. Now you understand the devil's spiritually dead. He's separated from God. He got kicked out of his position because of disobedience. The devil did. Lucifer, he got his name changed. Devil no longer has place in heaven. Can I get an amen? There will be no more knowledge of him once Jesus comes back and we get to know and God changes this thing. We'll be no more remembrance of his evil deception deeds. Amen? Because we got life everlasting ahead of us. Now, we don't have to give him that place while we're down here because Jesus said, come on, Jesus said the devil has no place in me. Now, that means it can be possible in our spirit But as more as we renew our mind, we can keep him out of our place. But the more word we have, it's going to help us. I used to be good at chess when I was in middle school. Why? I knew the moves. But I haven't played chess in a long, long time. And I could get easily deceived now because I don't remember the moves. But if somebody knows the moves, been in the word, we can know the move of the enemy before he moves. That's the whole thing of chess is predetermining the other person's move. If I know all kind of moves and you make that move and I've got a plan, I can defeat you. Mom, this wasn't in the notes. I wasn't the greatest chess player, but I'm the greatest now because of Jesus in the army of God. Amen? Because we're following Jesus. He's the captain of the host. And we got angels. We got all of heaven on our side. And all we have to do is know what God says and do it. Mary said, whatever Jesus says, do, you do it. And water turned to wine. Amen? On a dime, just like that. As they went, it changed. When they dipped it out, it was wine. So we're not going to be ignorant to the devil's devices, knowing the definition of deception. The first step to guarding your heart against deception is to know that definition of deception, because it's essential to understand what deception is not. When you do something wrong and you know it's wrong, that's not deception. You just made a wrong choice. And a poor choice. Anybody made any poor choices? I made a bunch of them. Thank God for his mercy. Endures forever. Amen? Forever. The only deception in this idea that you've done something wrong is that there will be no consequences to you. You're wrong. But thank God for his mercy again. Amen? True deception is much deeper. It comes when you get swept away by a wrong idea, but you've become convinced that it is the truth. That's deception. It gets deeper. And that's what Timothy was talking about when he said, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound, wholesome teaching. Anybody say we're in that time? Don't want to hear what's right. They want you to agree with what's wrong. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. That's 2 Timothy 4:3-4. Paul was saying that preaching the word in and out of season and using it for reproof, rebuke, and exhortation are to be done because a time is coming when people will not receive that ministry. But you keep going on with Jesus. You keep, what is that song was talking about? Keep your eyes upon Jesus and his word, and you go tell others of this great Jesus, of this great salvation. There's a dying world out there that hasn't heard. I'm ready for Jesus to come back. You guys ready? Until this gospel is preached, he ain't coming. It says, until this gospel is preached, till this whole earth has heard this gospel, then the end shall come. And we're in a place where it can happen. Social media. Come on, guys. It ain't taking long to get this place out. Get this word out of here. You know, Jesse, once he's commissioned to get that jet flying again to all those places, he's going to be there preaching that gospel, going deep. So is Andrew Womack. All of our partners, I tell you, if we're not sowing, we're not growing. If we're not preaching, people's dying. Come on, guys. If we're not preaching the truth, there's people out there going to hell. There's going to be periods of time, or there are periods of time in history and in every individual's life when people are more receptive, come on, to the Word of God than other times. This is one of those times. This is definitely one of those times. For instance, times of great loss is a good time to share good news, such as the death of a loved one. They can often soften a person's heart toward the Lord. Good time to share. Give your hope where you're going. National crisis, pandemics, I just add that one in there, such as war or natural disasters, tend to do the same thing. People's heart, they're softened. You know, think about, you know, and this really bothers me. You know, I thank God we're keeping in touch with our people, but when I'm told I can't go to the nursing home, I can't go visit my people in the hospital, I can't have but so many people in a funeral, this is what I've had to deal with. not me, but pastors, churches have had to deal with through this since March. There's people that are not being consoled, not being able, we're not able to get the word, in other words, face to face. And that is morally wrong. You know what? Come on, guys. It's hard on some people out there. There's people that have left this place, Christians, that didn't get to say their last goodbyes. So we got to stay on the line. We got to stay built up, ready to share, and pray that they let us in. Amen. They let Jesus in. Now, we still got faith. I believe when I pray, Jesus, he walks through walls. Amen. So our words, our prayers are effective. But it's just wrong, guys. Jesus would not be happy to be limited to where he could go. We don't wait on calamity or other occurrences to make special opportunities to preach the word. We don't wait. And there's people at the gates of hell. We don't want them to be there. We can't wait to tell this good news. Preach the word in season, out of season. The very context of this verse says we are to preach the word in season and out. When it's not popular, Jesus said he didn't come to be popular, but you can be powerful in the kingdom. Amen. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I would have lost years ago. Probably 6 or 7 years when I started losing my hair, I'd definitely start losing my popularity contest. If it had been about me, this place would be a lot less empty. Amen. Because it ain't about me. Christ in me. I'm going to give somebody hope. Itching ears are those that only want to be told what they want to hear. I remember years, I'm not going to go that way today. Lord says, shut up, go this way. Those itching ears want the message of God restyled to fit the times and the flow of society. This leads to mixing truth with falsehood until the accurate picture of Christ and Christianity is no longer presented. Kind of like a feel-good service. If it feels good, if I feel good going there, that's where I need to go. You're going to be deceived. Because there's many times, and I thank God for Pastor Jim Howard and Dr. Gary Price. I remember when we first started coming here and visiting, I sat back there probably where Cindy, we took up a whole pew, the Jackson family. You know, ours were a lot younger then, but we still fit on one pew. We didn't sit there too long because Dr. Price had some inside information. My pastor, Jim Howard, told him, I got a family there, and they've been trained. Because we were underneath Jim from 2000 to 2008, and we were trained and skilled in the Word of God, and we were in Ministry of Helps. So once Gary found out that we had something to give, any good pastor would say, I need some help. Because, Wayne, it's in your giving is when you start living. Come on, guys. It's in your giving is when you truly start living this walk of faith. You get on top of the situation, and the devil don't like it. But guess what? He's sinking, but you not. Because Jesus didn't come to save the devil. He came to save his disciples. See, the devil brought the storm, but Jesus brought the peace. Amen. He brought the way out of the storm because he's the way out. Jesus is the way out every time, all the time. And he's right on time. He won't let you sink if you keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. We're not going to be deceived. See, the nature of deception is a work of fear that begins with questioning. Never question God why this has happened to me. Be asking God, how can I get out of this, Lord? Where is the exit? Exodus. Where is the way out? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Which way, Jesus? Which way to life? I won't experience life in this situation. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fill in the blank. He was talking to Peter. Peter was a fisherman. What are you called to do? Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you great in that. Amen? Because you're going to help people on the way. You're going to be a people helper. Amen? You can't love God. You can't say you love God, and you don't love people. Because the Bible says, how can you say you love a God you can't see if you don't love a person you can see? Amen. I had to repent just the other day driving my, I better not put my business name in here. It might not be good. Driving my company van, and there was a car that wasn't working in front of me. I didn't know really what was happening. But a UPS guy, he quickly went around that car, and he got out. I said, what's he doing? But he got out, and he helped the lady. The car had stopped, so he got out and is pushing. And I sit there in my van. I should have got my lazy butt out and helped him push the car off to the side of the road. Now, it was a small car, but you know what I did? I repented. I said, Lord, because I'm in such a hurry. Got to get to my place. Say, be quick to repent. Say, Lord, that wasn't right. It didn't feel right, and it wasn't right. And I repented. Amen. So God, he'll make sure I get another opportunity, and he'll really see, repent means to really, really, really change. Amen. It means the next time you'll do something different if you truly repented. Don't be deceived. God knows your heart. Amen. And he'll test you with good. God never tempts you or tests you with evil, but he will test you with doing something good and see if you'll do it. That's what he does. He won't test you with evil. He won't be tempted with evil. Neither will he tempt any man. There's no evil in God. No evil in God. But if you say you want to do something for him and you put out, he's going to test you, see if you're faithful. You going to do it? You going to do it? I'm glad I'm a pastor in the New Testament. Those prophets and seers in the Old Testament, they had it rough. I mean, Elijah at one time, he called fire down from heaven, consumed 50 people that were coming after him because he was scared. He was in fear for his life, and he called fire down, consumed them, burned them up, the fire of God. That wasn't God's perfect will for people. You know that, don't you? That was the Old Testament. Because Jesus rebuked his disciples in the New Testament. That's how I relate that. Because, you know, Jesus' disciples was walking, and they didn't want to, they wasn't buddy-buddy with that group. And disciples got angry and said, Lord, they're not teaching like we teaching. You want us to call fire down from heaven? They knew about Elijah. And Jesus looked at them and said, you don't know what spirit you're talking of. See, Jesus came to save man's life, not destroy them. See, they needed a radical change. Covenant was changing. See, God's never changed, but the covenant's changed. Because God had to deal with people according to his covenant. Guess what? Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have a revelation of the devil, who he was. They couldn't see. Because we were spiritually dead in the Old Covenant. We needed that Holy Ghost on the inside, that fire. And, you know, we talked about what color God is. From his loins down, the prophet said he's fire. He's fire color. And what happened on the day of Pentecost, guys, when they were all in the upper room praying? Tongues of fire. We lost the fire in the garden, but we got it back on the day of Pentecost. The fire came back. See, they were naked. What made them naked? They lost the fire. That was their covering, was the fire of God. Amen. We're not naked anymore. You get born again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You got your fire back. Amen? Don't let that fire go out. Keep it burning. Don't be deceived. The devil wants you to think you're just an old sinner. No, he ain't. He wants you to say you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You say, no, I was a sinner. I got saved by grace. Now I'm in the family and I got my place. So look out, devil. Get out of my way. Amen. Put him on the run. Put that devil on the run. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this is finishing up our summary here. We might get a little bit into the second part two of deception. Number one is knowing deception. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's in the good times and that's in the bad times. When you're on your mountaintop experience having a good time, you better acknowledge God. It wasn't me, oh God, that got me to this place. It was you. And you can stay in those places. But God wants you to bring other people up. Amen. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. Instead of going back to the source, being deceived, Adam and Eve, this is what happened. Instead of going back to God when they messed up, they let God come down and have to find them. Instead of going back to the source, they question. They let that questioning lead them away, and that was deception. Has God said, you shall not eat? And they let that other voice sway them, deceive them. That voice came through a talking snake, and we've got the... See, Adam and Eve didn't have the Bible that we have to have all the information and revelation that we have, but they had God. They had the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Amen? And they were deceived. But thank God for Jesus. That was talking about the definition of deception. Number two here, a little bit of time we're going to share, is prepare ahead of time. Wayne, this is your message right here. I could probably let you come up here, and you could probably go through this outline and preach it. Prepare ahead of time. Knowing against deception, knowing who you are in Christ, well, you need to know Christ so you'll know who you are. Know the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember Peter? Walking with Jesus, seen him, grew up with Jesus in the area. But after Jesus was baptized and called Peter, and Peter and John, they followed Peter. At one time, there's a lot of people saying a lot of things about Jesus. There's a lot of people saying a lot of things about you and about me that we don't know. Some of it's true, some of it's not. Who are you going to count to? God. So that's the only one that should matter to you. Because at one time, Jesus asked his disciples, Peter, James, John, who do you say that I am? Well, actually, he said, who do men say that I am? In other words, who's your family? You know, y'all been following me for a while. What's your in-laws saying? What do they believe? Well, Jesus, some say you this prophet, or some say you this, or some say you that. But then he turned to Peter and said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter didn't think about it. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right answer. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, flesh and blood. See, this is our problem. This is the problem when you put more faith in people, flesh and blood, than you put in God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Peter got a revelation. Why did that revelation come? He followed Jesus. Keep your eyes. Wherever Jesus goes, you go. Amen? Peter had been fishing, was good at it. But there was something about when Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. When my wife came to me when I was not living for God, not respecting her, not being a blessing to her, but she gave her life to Christ, I didn't know it. She didn't come tell me, hey, I got born again. I'm in love with Jesus. She didn't come tell me that. She didn't have to come tell me that. But one night while I'm sitting there on my computer, she came in there where I was spending more time on my with Microsoft than I was with wife. Don't get these things out of proportion, out of priority. I was sitting there on my computer playing my games, doing whatever I was doing, and she came in there and she said, I don't remember if she said Robert or honey. She might have went from honey now because she fell in love with Jesus. And I tell you, his word is like honey. Jesus loves us, guys. She said, Robert, will you find me something on prophecy? Prophecy? But she knew, God knew. I had this thing about prophecy. I wasn't sure about it, but it had a hold on me. You know when you're brought up in church, you hear about end times, the moon's going to turn to blood, and all these bad things, earthquakes and all kind of places. Well, you know what? I was in fear because I wasn't in faith. I didn't know if I was saved or not. But when she said prophecy, that was exactly what the Holy Ghost said. God told her, go ask your husband to look up something. Why? Because he knew I was lost, and I needed to be found. And a word of knowledge, a gift of the Spirit he gave to my wife. And when she said that, I got on the internet. I know how to search. I know how to find the thing. And I started looking up things on prophecy. And I can't tell you what I found because that wasn't the point. The point was it was driving me to God. It was pulling me out of the world and getting me to follow Jesus. And what that did, God started softening my heart. Because, you see, if he can get you out of the world and get you out of all these places and voices that are against God, anti-Christ, and next thing you know, I'm doing all that, but now I'm watching my wife have an intimate relationship with a God I can't see, and she's forgot about me. She has forgot about me because she fell in love with love that I couldn't give her, Wayne. I didn't have it to give. You can't give somebody something you don't have. I know now that I didn't have that unconditional love. I can't tell you if I had passed away, if I'd have went to heaven. I don't think I could have. I went to church. Coming to church don't make you a Christian. Coming to Christ is what makes you a Christian. And once you come to him and sell yourself out, he seals you with the Holy Ghost and fills you with his power. If you'll let him, he'll fill you till you overflow. Amen? And that word, that one word from God, Brother Copeland has took persecution from this because he was one of the ones at one time. He said, one word from God can change your life. It might have been Oral Roberts that said it. But people have persecuted Oral Roberts, and he says, one word from God can change your life. Well, to those that don't believe, let them be stupid and still. Let them be ignorant, the Bible says. Let them be ignorant still. You got to do what God tells you to do. Amen? And God will meet you at that place. He met me at that place. And he started working on my heart. It didn't happen immediately, but the Bible says, if the believing wife or the believing husband shall stay and pray and seek my face and come to me, that other person can be saved. Amen? Don't give up. The Bible says, don't you give up on them. You pray for them and you love them unconditionally. And I don't know how long ago women, they just remember more details than men. But my wife could tell you, it wasn't long before I sat at home by myself on my couch, and I found Romans 10, 9, and 10, and it's my mission in my heart today. I confessed the Lord Jesus as my Savior, repented of my sins, and I didn't look any different on the outside, but I was born again. I was born again. And when I got asked to go to church, you know what I said? Where are we going? Let's go. And she knew something was different then. See, the change will start on the inside, but it'll show up on the outside if you give it time. And I got filled with the Spirit, got delivered at a Church of God, West C, right? West C Church of God. Got set free. One word from God can change a life. One song played, one verse, one song, one word in a song can get people out of anything. Amen? So don't think what you're doing is not important. Don't think what you're saying is not important. Don't think living for Christ is not important because it is. And the world's going to get darker, but the church is just going to get brighter. Amen? Because when you turn the lights out in this room, if there's a light on, that's where the focus is going to be. You know, we've got a lit exit sign. I thank God for the ministers in this church. You know, we had signs that were not lit at one time, but we got one that's lit now. And I think Wednesday night a week, they was having Bible study and the power went off. But there was a light that came on, right? Where you could see, it wasn't over the exit, but you could see to get out the door, right? Well, God is that light. Jesus is that light. And I don't care how dark it is in your life right now, if you'll stay focused on him, he will show you the way out. Amen? And when you get free, what do? Get somebody else free, will you? Because God has a big house. He has a big place. He's wanting us all there with him one day. But until then, he said, occupy. Make room down here, would you? Make some room down here. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know we ain't getting too far. Praise the Lord. That's why it's called a series. Anybody watch baseball? I'm not a big baseball fan, but I think it's virtually back online. You ever hear about the World Series? Them games can go on and on. And I remember, I think I actually did a search. The longest World Series went on, I forget how many innings it went, but it was long, Kerry. It was a long game. But you know what? That's where you better have some pitchers. You better not have more than one. You better have some pitchers ready to go. All right? You better have the Holy Ghost. Remember what Jesus told us? Remember what he told when I'm talking about us? I'm talking about me back then. Because we, the church, Jesus knew we'd be here sitting here today. But before the first church started, he said, wait, don't you go nowhere yet. You stay here till Jerusalem. You tarry here until my Father sends the power. Amen? It's critical what we do and how we do it and when we do it. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And that power came on the day of Pentecost because God knew we needed the power. Power. Amen? Don't be deceived. The devil does have power. He's a spiritual being, but he's been stripped. He's naked. Come on, God. He don't have the fire. Come on, he does not have the fire. You do. And the only way he can operate is if he gets your fire. In the Bible, they talked about strange fire. In the Old Testament, they burned, they had strange fire at the in the altar. That's what the devil, in the last days, that's what's going to happen. He's going to do miracles, but it's going to be a deceiving fire. It ain't going to be the real fire. We're not going to be here to see all that mess, but I'm telling you, that's what we need to help people. You don't want to be down here when the church is gone. When we're out of here, this place is going to hell quick. That ain't cussing. That's speaking from the Bible. Jesus said, you don't want to go to hell. It's not a place that was created for man. It was created for devil, for the angel, for Lucifer and his angels. Amen. Don't be deceived. God didn't create us to die. He created us to live. That's his whole purpose. He is life. Amen. So God wants us to prepare ahead of time. So I'm going to give you some homework for next time we come back. You want to be prepared? I want you to be prepared ahead of time for this message. I want you to read 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh my, getting homework. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Whole chapter. I don't think it ain't about maybe, I don't know, 15, 16 verses. Just keep on reading if you want to be. If you want to be blessed, do what the teacher says. Amen. Not because I'm such a great teacher, but because God is. So you'll be ready to pass the test. Hey, I'll tell you right now, there's going to be some tests coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Because as long as the earth remains, the Bible said, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Sun, it's going to be hot and it's going to be cold. And there's a devil out here, and he's going to be trying to deceive us every day. Has God said? And you just say, yes, he has. And you need to tell the devil what God has said. Come on, let's take it another level. Because when you start telling the devil what God has said, the Bible says, come on, the Bible says, submit yourselves to God. Come on. You know what happens when power goes, when I turn this, I'll just make an example here. I hadn't used nobody for an example this morning. That's pretty good. I'm sparing, y'all. Usually I use my family as an example, or me as an example. I'm not supposed to use the sheepfold. I'm supposed to use me, right? Y'all forgive me, right? Y'all walk in love towards your pastor, right? But if I come over here and do this, uh-oh, you in the dark, not all the way. But when I do this, you see that light come on? You know what's happening? I sent power up there. There's a resistor in that light. Ain't that right, Leo? There's a resistor. It's a current. There's a light up there. And when that power comes by, it resists. And resistance brings light. It illuminates. In other words, the power is fighting against that power, and it lights things up. I know very little about electricity, but I know a lot about God. And he says, his word says, if you'll submit yourselves to God, resist, turn the light on. The entrance of God's word brings light. Light right there. I thank you, Father God, for that light that's on the inside of Wayne. Lord, the Bible says your word is a lamp unto, Lord, the spirit of man is a lamp unto the Lord. I just thank you right now, Father God. You have already searched Wayne, searched his heart, Lord, and you have replaced all the pain right now, Lord, with words of deliverance and words of healing, Lord. And we draw them forth right now by your mighty hand, Lord. Lord, my hand is just a point of contact that your mighty hand is flowing through his body right now, Lord, bringing peace to his mind through the peace that is in his spirit. And Father, we thank you, Lord, he's already got the victory and he knows it. And Lord, he's going to walk it out and his whole family is going to receive and walk in the light of the gospel, the light of this victory that has been given to him through Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for him being in this place and for your grace, Lord, that is sufficient for every need in his life. And I speak that and decree that and declare that in the mighty name of Jesus. He will not be denied what Jesus died and paid for. Him, his children, and his children's children. You hear that, devil? That's prophecy that will come to pass. In Jesus' name, the spirit of prophecy spoken by the word of God received will come to pass. Devil's defeated. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Wayne, can you play for us? I know you can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to unhook today from this series today, but you are always hooked up with the Deliverer, with the mighty Holy Spirit that was given to us as a promise. If you're here in this church today and you've never received Jesus, would be the main thing. I'd like for you to come down here and we'd like to agree with you. If you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you're watching by internet, I guess I need to check this battery. Are they still on there? Yeah, we got somebody watching too. If you've never received Jesus, all you got to do is believe that he is God's Son. That he came, he lived a sinless life. He died and went to hell. For 3 days he was in the ground. But then God raised him from the dead. And if you'll believe that, receive him as your Lord and Savior, you will be born again. You'll be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, you can be changed and be born again. And then one day, soon and very soon, he's going to rapture his church out of here, and our whole body's going to be changed. We're going to have the body that Jesus has, a glorified body. But until then, you need the power. If you're here in this church and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you've never spoken in tongues, that's a gift for you. I'd be glad to pray with you for you to receive that gift. If you're here in this church and you want to make that commitment, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you're watching online, you see this later, I don't have to be there physically. All you got to do is go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and see on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, one accord, and the Holy Ghost came. He was poured out from heaven. There was one major outpouring, and through the body of Christ and through Jesus now, he is the baptizer. He will baptize you in his spirit, and he will give you a heavenly language that the devil can't understand, and that's when you build yourself up in your most holy faith, and you can pray the language of heaven, and you need that. That's a gift I received. And it's not for me, but Paul said it's for all those that would receive. It's a gift given to all men that would freely receive. I give you that invitation today. If you're here and you need that, we'd be glad to pray with you. And I've mentioned before, if you've never been baptized in water, won't keep you from heaven, but it's just the right thing to do. Let me know. We'd be glad to put you underneath this water in this bath. We'd love to fill it up and let God fill you up to overflowing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you received Jesus by watching this and you got born again, you need to get into a good church. We'd be glad to have you here at Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord. We still got room to grow. And we believe God, he gives the increase. Thank you, Jesus. If you need personal prayer this morning, be glad to pray with you. You don't have to stay in your seat. You can come up here. We'd be glad to pray with you, lay hands on you if you need hands laid on. Anything we can agree with you about. Thank you, Lord. We will not be deceived. You will not be deceived. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or WOFWC www.thewaywardchurch.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.